the cosmic legends of the universe.
Dave Damaschek.
The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, football fans. Dave Damaschek here along with my main man, Adam Rank, coming at you from Canton, Ohio, in the shadow, literally, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. At my side, as always, future Hall of Famer, Adam Rank. How are we, Rank?
Dave, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You better rested. Yesterday's podcast, it was a travelogue, and that's available for you at NFL.com and at iTunes. And go ahead and subscribe there. Follow Rank at Adam Rank on Twitter. At Damaschek is the way to track me down. We did a little travelogue. We flew in under the cloak of night to the banks of the Three Rivers, the city of Champaigns, Pittsburgh, PA. We ran in. We took a little detour. We went and got a Primanti sandwich. It was delicious. And then we made our way here to Canton, Ohio, exhausted but invigorated by being in the Hall of Fame. And the only thing we didn't get to do, Rank, we didn't really get to eat last night.
Not after 11, no.
No, you can't. Yeah, no joints open in Canton, Ohio. It's a lovely town, though. Midwestern charm, to be sure. It's coming out in spades, but no food after 11. That was a disappointment.
It's Hall of Fame week, Chipotle. You can't stay open to 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Chick-fil-A, you can't give the guy a break.
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming from all over the country, you know.
We went to a gas station. I had I had some spicy almonds in my belly before the night's end.
That's what I had pretzels and a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
That's all I could afford.
And you got some Pop-Tarts as well, right?
That was for today.
Oh, I see. Clever.
I saved that.
Looking forward.
Because they're not feeding us breakfast either.
And what about, which flavor did you get? I didn't happen to notice. Best flavor Pop-Tart, I'll interrupt you, is the cream one. The one that's got the chocolate cake and then the white icing on top and the white icing in the middle. That's Dave's culinary tip of the day.
They had a weird selection. You're out in Canton, you see the chocolate chip cookie Pop-Tart,
yeah.
You see the strudel. Like a lot of varieties we might not get out in California, so I tried the chocolate chip one and regretted it.
Yeah, we get the spicy tuna flavored one, the California roll. Rank, listen, we got Marcus Allen coming up here in just a moment. Very excited to kibitz with him about a full range of subjects.
I've got a few things in mind to talk to him about.
I want to get his thoughts. Maybe we can yap with him if we have time about the Pac-12. Get his thoughts about that. Talk a little SC, Chiefs, and Raiders.
Right.
I think he's made it pretty clear that he is, if he had to choose, like in at the Baseball Hall of Fame,
right?
That you put on a ball cap of whatever team. I think actually they stripped the players of that after Wade Boggs, apocalypse of Boggs deciding to wear the Devil Rays hat,
yeah.
Right?
And that's not real, right? They put him in with a Boston hat.
I'm not sure, but I think they changed it when they did that. But either way, if they did that at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think it's pretty clear he would go in as a Chief. But we'll have to clear that up with him, among other things. In the meantime,
That's an interesting one. What do you think Dion goes in as if you were going to do that?
I think I get the sense,
right,
that he has his heart belongs to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
His affinity for Michael Irvin, I think, and does that seem right? He only won one Super Bowl there and
one in San Francisco.
Is that correct, or did he take home two?
That is correct. Yeah,
from Dallas.
Super Bowl 30, and then the franchise collapsed after that.
Yeah, interesting. So,
but if you ever are out here at Canton, they've got the Hall of Fame is right on the freeway. You drive down the 77 South. You will see the Hall of Fame and Fawcett Stadium where the induction ceremony is going to be. They have the big photos of all seven of the guys who are going into the Hall of Fame. We drive by that. And interestingly enough, Deion Sanders' photo comes from his Falcons days.
Telling, I suppose. Or maybe not at all. We did get to take a spin around the Hall of Fame after hours.
Yep.
And it was positively grand. In fact, we tested out John Madden's theory about, he said that when the lights go out, in the Hall of Fame, that the busts talk each other. So we staked that out in the wee hours of the AM to see if that actually was true. You can look for that on NFL.com at some point this weekend. In the meantime, though, it was really cool. I've, you know, 2 hours away. I grew up, I may have mentioned once or twice, I'm from Pittsburgh, PA.
What?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm from the city of Pittsburgh.
We should talk about that more.
grew up watching the Steelers and Pirates and Penguins talk about it.
Talk about it.
But I've never been to the Hall of Fame, and so it was great to be in there. You know, walking around, seeing all the uniforms and everything, the real jerseys. You know, for somebody like me who's, I'm the uniform monitor, as you know, Rank.
Right.
I'm a great lover. I have great passion for uniforms. And so for me, walking around there and seeing all those great jerseys was essentially like pornography for me. But the best one, I think the one that really caught my eye, the old gold Tom Fears old LA Rams jersey, the gold jersey with the navy blue stripes and no white in it. I positively swooned over it.
I think we decided that if the Rams do move back to Los Angeles, as they have been rumored or at least linked to do, that has to be the jersey.
Yeah.
That gold jersey.
Yeah, I loved it. And they have a little tribute section to the USFL.
Uh-huh.
That was neat. We ran into James Lofton.
Yes.
Talked with him about it. He agreed. I've always said, we're talking about Michael Irvin in prime time and all that sort of thing. I said, if Scott, because he made some reference to Scott Norwood's kick, had Norwood made that kick, the Bills are considered one of the top 10 teams of all time.
Yep.
If they do, even if they lose the next three Super Bowls, they're probably considered one of the top 10 teams of all time, and because they would look like better competition having already won a Super Bowl. If the Cowboys beat them in back-to-back Super Bowls 2 and 3 years later, the Cowboys are more highly regarded, because by the time they beat the Bills, the Bills were almost a punchline. Nah, the Bills are never going to win a Super Bowl. The Cowboys just beat them back-to-back. So if they are playing, I mean, imagine that matchup. Cowboys-Bills, with the Bills having been to the last two Super Bowls and having one of those rings.
I would say back-to-back. They're back-to-back at that point.
You think they would have
beaten
the Redskins?
If they win the first one, then they end up beating the Redskins.
But Lofton surprisingly agreed. as a member of the Bills. But he had no argument against that point. But you felt like he didn't like what I said to him? I said, hey, you're in the Hall of Fame. And you had Lynn Dickey throwing you the ball. That makes it extra good that you made it in spite of that.
He took a point away for the low blow.
But why? It was a compliment to him. I was just having fun at the expense of Lynn Dickey.
Yeah, do you think they hang out still?
I don't know.
Like,
apparently they're chums.
Yeah, you know.
He didn't care for that.
Are they Facebook buddies, do you think?
I guess so. You know, I don't know. I guess he's going to turn down my request to be friends now.
Lynn Dickey sends him a request to play Farmville. Could you imagine? That just seems like the weirdest thing. Like, if you're Chuck Bednarik on Facebook, how upset he would be when somebody wants to invite him to play Mafia Wars.
You know, here's an odd fact about Damashek. I am friends on Facebook with Haven Moses.
What?
I have no earthly reason why that's the case, but it is. Number 25 of the Denver Broncos. Anywho, the other thing I thought was really cool in the Hall of Fame, and then hopefully Marcus will be here. The thing I really enjoyed was the wrestling masks. We got a little spin around from Pete Fendley of the
Fearly.
Hall of Fame. Fearly.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Don't show me up. I'm the man of the people, not you. By the way, isn't it funny at our in our hotel room, we're at the Holiday Inn in Canton, Ohio, and you only have access to their three floors.
Right.
But the third floor, you have to have a card to access it.
Yes.
What do you think's happening in the Canton Holiday Inn that's so exclusive that the likes of you and me can't get up there?
Dan Dierdorf has the whole floor. Oh, no.
You think Commissioner Goodell set up shop up there? He's taking it over. I don't know. It was very strange. We couldn't get up there anyway. Pete Fendley gave us
Fearly.
I said Fearly. Pete Fearly was kind enough to take us for a little spin around the Hall of Fame, and the thing I thought was one of the cooler items in there. They have these wrestling masks, is exactly what they look like, with a helmet. But it's a sort of the leather helmet look, but imagine then if it covered the face as well, And the reason for that was, in the early days of the football, I guess it was the equivalent of pro wrestling, that you had to change your identity. There was a stink on it. There was a shame associated with playing football.
Is that what you took away from that?
That's exactly what he said.
That's
exactly what he said.
What
did he say?
He said that sometimes the players would, because they were still in college, would go play professionally and get paid, so they wanted to hide their identity.
That's what I just said. They have a stink on them. There's a shame associated with it.
You're totally misrepresenting it. Not a stink. It's they're keeping themselves eligible.
I'm going to turn your lights out as soon as we're done here, but I'm not going to do it right now because look who is making his way over here with a gaggle of people. It's him. It's a Hall of Famer. From USC.
What an entourage.
Excellent.
You're listening to Dave Damaschek. You're listening to Dave Damaschek. You're listening to Dave Damaschek.
All right, Rank, this is pretty good stuff. Worth the trip to Canton alone. Talk to Hall of Famer on behalf of Bud Light Fan Camp. Pretty cool thing actually going here. Fans can go to one of 60 cities over 15 weeks, get to play a bunch of competitions, football skills type competitions, all around the thing. You and me, Rank, we got to get into this competition. Let's talk to him about it right now. Marcus Allen, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Well, I'm well. I'm a lot better now that I'm sitting here next to you in this air-conditioned little room escaping the humidity of Canton.
You should join the competition, by the way. Get your girlfriend or your wife. I don't know if you're married, but maybe the two of you can join.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because, you got it's teams of four, two guys, two girls, 21 and older. Of course, Marcus. And the question is, I'll do it, but will you be on my team?
You know what? Technically, I'm working for Bud Light right now, so I don't know if they're going to allow employees to be a part of it. So,
conflict of interest.
Yeah, you lose out on me. So,
hey, we were talking, and right out of the gate, I don't want to embarrass you, but what do you think about the fact that you may well be the best player for not just one NFL franchise, but two NFL franchises? That ever register to you?
I never considered that. That's quite a quite an honor to hear that, because those two franchises have had some incredible players, and just to be mentioned in the same breath with those guys is a nice thing.
Well, who would be? I mean, you got Lenny Dawson would be your competition.
Yes.
In KC, I would think he would be, and then some of the great defensive players in KC history, and then with the Raiders. I mean, I really think you are probably the greatest Raider of all time.
No, I think in a latest survey, they had me number 10 or something like that.
10?
I don't know why. Yes.
10? How
could you believe that? I don't know. Maybe because I didn't end my career there. But it was not my choice. I actually wanted to retire. I wanted to play for one team, and I wanted to retire with the team I started with. So.
But ultimately, though, you did. I mean, if you had to choose, if it were like the Baseball Hall of Fame and you had to choose a helmet to go in with, you would I'll let you answer. Which team would it be?
Luckily, we don't have to choose.
I know, but fashion-wise, did you like that red with the arrowhead on the side of the hat, or did you like that black and silver?
Well, black is hard to get to. Black's a sleek color, man. It's very cool, and the Raiders obviously have created such a following, with those colors alone. So I would have to say, from a fashion standpoint, yes, I think the black worked well.
From a fashion standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said that, too. You wanted to finish with one team. Ideally, you would have finished in one home field, playing for, obviously, USC, playing for the Los Angeles Raiders.
Yes.
Now, I talked to Jerome Bettis the other day. He hurt my feelings. As a guy who grew up in Southern California, I am ready for the NFL to return. Is it time for the NFL to return to Los Angeles?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's necessary. LA needs a team, in my opinion. Economically would be a boost, but it's hard to be recognized, in my opinion, as the entertainment capital of the world, and you don't have one of the great sports franchises around. And it's revitalized downtown. I mean, it will continue to help that revitalization of downtown. I think it's vital. I think it's important, and more importantly, we don't need any public funds to make it happen.
And what do you think about the rumor teams? You keep hearing about the Chargers, you hear about the Raiders. Do you have any sort of guess as what team has the inside track on making its way to
No,
LA?
I don't. But you know what? As much as I love the Chargers, though, I mean, the Chargers are synonymous with San Diego. I would hate for them to leave the city of San Diego. I know, obviously, the stadium game's a tremendous issue down there, and I don't know if they can get a stadium built. But ideally, you know, I play for the L.A. Raiders. That would not be a bad move for the Raiders to come back here. They have a following, but you never know.
And what about that? You know, I personally think it's a bunch of hooey and applesauce when people say L.A. would never support an NFL team because everybody's a transplant from somewhere else. My hunch, you know, the nonsense goes like everybody's busy out surfing. You know, I've lived in L.A. for over a decade, and I've never once – the closest I've come to surfing was watching Point Break on cable. And, I mean, to me, I think people would line up to get into the stadium to see a local NFL team, right?
To me, it's like the Field of Dreams. You know, build it, and I think they will come. I think we're thirsty for – you know, I think we've gone long enough without a team, but it's nothing like having your own team. And I believe that if a team does come here, I believe the stadium will be filled. I think it will fill to capacity, and that's important. I think, you know what, with all the talk and all the, you know, hysteria about, you know, L.A. being a team of, or people rather, of that wouldn't support a team because there's so many things to do. Of course, we're a diverse city, but I mean, how many people? It's almost, what is it, 11 million people?
I think they're enough, yeah.
12,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, there's maybe 7 million, but there may be, you know, 5 million undocumented. But there's, you know, lots of people here that would go to a game, you know?
Well, what about when USC and UCLA are playing at the same time? 90,000 people at the Coliseum, 70,000 people at the Rose Bowl. It's obvious that the fans will support football.
Well, you got that right, though. Yeah, most of the fans go to USC game and not the.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but you're right. There's clearly lovers of football, and I think, you know, if a team were to come down here, they would clearly support it.
What about the fact? Well, you know, this is something we talk about a lot. We say on the podcast all the time. We're doing it from the fans' perspective, and to me. You going from the Raiders, and I obviously know the, you know, everybody is aware who follows football, the sort of acrimony and the way that you wanted to finish your career with the Raiders and that didn't work out. But how weird was it not just to leave the Raiders, but then to go to an AFC West rival like that? It's not exactly going, transferring from the Trojans to UCLA, but was it an odd thing to suddenly be putting on the uniform of, like I say, a division rival?
No, it wasn't odd. It was odd the first time I played against the Raiders. That was actually really odd. I mean, you practicing against guys is one thing because you know you're not going to get hit at practice and stuff. You know, guys are going to give you a good look, you know, to try to prepare you for the game. But now they're actually trying to hit you, stop you. Some try to hurt you. I mean, that's a very weird feeling and stuff because, you know, I rarely help guys up. But I found myself always extending a hand, you know, are you okay? Everybody thinks a lot, you know, that kind of thing. During a game, things that I would never, ever do. You know, I just walk back and I would always, you know, give a guy a look or something like that. But I would never sort of, you know, how's the family, that kind of thing going, you know, during a game. But, you know, that kind of happened. It's a weird sort of thing to experience. But, you know, I got through it.
Did you walk into the wrong locker room the first time you went back to the Coliseum? As a member of the Chiefs?
I walked into the right locker room, but I wasn't allowed to
<You're right.
laughs> to step foot in the Raider locker room. So that was strange, too. And what was really interesting, the first time I played the Raiders, the fans were actually very, very supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Until we start
they
putting up.
They still wear Marcus Allen jerseys.
Well, not so fast, but until we start putting up really good numbers against him, and we jumped ahead, and then they started to abandon all their fond memories of me and started to pull for the Raiders. It was, you know.
But the love was there eventually.
Initially it was there, yes.
Hey, we heard a lot the last few days. Donovan McNabb had to pay Chris Cluey to get the number 5 for the Vikings. We heard about Ocho Cinco needing to get 85, obviously, from Aaron Hernandez. When you went to the Raiders, did you have to make any kind of offer to Kenny King for 33, or did you just I'm taking what they give me?
No, they gave me 32, and I always thought 32 was one of the best numbers ever.
Oh, this was a choice. Oh, you couldn't go 32 at SC.
Right. I mean, that number was
so
retired.
33.
And
33.
I mean, but I've always liked, 33 was basically by default. You know what I mean? But I always liked 32 and looked at all the great players that were 32 from Jim to from the Juice to the Franco. I mean, you know, there was just a lot of great 32s, and I was like, oh, this is a great number. And then in addition to that, Jack Tatum wore it, and I was always a Jack Tatum fan.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't have to. I didn't have that dilemma. Oh man, he has 33. How much money am I going to offer the guy? They gave me a number that I loved, and I said, "This is it works. It works."
And the Raiders don't retire numbers, which is the interesting.
No, it's one of the few teams that doesn't. One of the few teams that I think that don't have a ring of honor or anything like that, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of players that deserve
when that. You see a Raider out there wearing 32 or 12 or anything like that, it hurts. It hurts to see that. But speaking of hurt, I got to bring up something that's near and dear to my heart. I'm a Cal State Fullerton alumni. You might know where I'm going with this. This is the Professional Football Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people might not realize your brother Damon was one of the greatest players in CFL history.
Yes.
Actually, the greatest player in CFL history. What do we have to do to get him in here? I don't know if he's going to get a bust, but he's got to be displayed here.
Listen here, you know, obviously that's something that I've gave a great deal of thought about, and it's not the National Football League Hall of Fame, it's the NFL Hall of Fame, or Pro Football, rather, Hall of Fame. And he played professional football, and he played it better than anyone else, and his yards, his numbers are equal to or better than, the greatest numbers that have ever been put together in this league. So he's won, I think, 5 Grey Cups. He has close to, I don't know, over 13,000 yards rushing, over like 90,000 yards passing.
Quarterback.
Yeah, as a QB. So he's done it. Didn't Fritz Pollard, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
right?
Didn't he have a short tenure in the CFL too?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you look, and we did a tour last night with Pete Fearley of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the first thing he pointed out is that this is a Professional Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
And there it is. I mean, he's done so much, and he played forever.
Right.
He was a grandfather when he played, is that?
Yes, he was, man. I hate to say that. How many guys that were grandfathers, but he just had a son, too, which is younger than his grandson. So it's living town. I grew up with Damon, knew he was special. But the best thing about Damon was is that he went his own direction and forged his own way and made an incredible life for himself. He still lives in Toronto, Canada right now, and he's great. But I knew he was a great athlete. You know, he kept getting drafted for years
right.
in baseball after
that's right.
he had
that's
finished
right.
playing too. So
and you look at the way the game's evolved. Now, I mean, he would have been a perfect NFL quarterback.
Like timing, you know, they had guys that I think they came out, they were ahead of their time, and then there's guys that that were the prototype guys, and then Damon's sort of size wasn't exactly at the time. He sort of was a late bloomer, and so he wasn't probably ideal at that time. And then it's interesting, guys that are actually him are getting opportunities today to play the game and stuff, so. You know, timing has a lot to do with a lot of things. So,
all right, real quick, a couple quick ones for you, Marcus, and then we'll let you get out of here. Al Davis, you saw Rex Ryan last week. He came out with that big leg tattoo. Did either Al Davis or maybe Tom Flores or Marty Schottenheimer or any of those, you remember them being tatted up, some barbed wire around the bicep maybe?
No. I couldn't imagine those guys, especially Marty Schottenheimer. Tom Flores. Very conservative guy, but perhaps something on his maybe on his arm or something like that. But Marty, no.
And a man of fashion wearing the seersucker pants, very natty. If you you had the right answer.
With my that, Jack Purcells, right?
Yeah, very smart very look, casual, very smart, yeah. Marcus. And, you know, listen, you got the correct answer. The Chiefs have great uniforms. Raiders that much better. A team moves to L.A. They get a whole new, you know, they get a new identity. Let's say it's the Jaguars. Can't do that. What about this? Instead of L.A., what about Hollywood is the name? The Hollywood, you know, Stars, maybe? What do you think about that?
Well, the marketing would be amazing.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be probably the number one seller because everybody wants to be Hollywood.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Hollywood blockbusters, maybe? What do you think about that?
But the likelihood, zero. I got to give you a donut on that one, big guy.
And the last question for you. You played for the Chiefs, played for the Raiders, know all about the AFC West. Who's winning in 2011?
I don't know. That's a good one. That is a good one. You know, you still have to go through Green Bay. I still think they're a young, talented team. Mike McCarthy, who I'm so happy for Mike. Mike started as a quality control guy in Kansas City my first year. So to see his evolution as a coach and what he's done there, what he's done with that offense and how he attacks the game, and then obviously putting a defense that's aggressive too, that go gets you. You know, even though everybody's talking about Philadelphia at this point and their acquisitions, you still have to think Green Bay, because Green Bay is a very young team and they have a quarterback that is probably one of the best in the game.
Well, speaking of QB, just real quick, you know, talk about a dream team, poor man's version of a dream team at least. That Chiefs offense is loaded now. Do you think Matt Castle, I mean, the one question mark remains, he's had some nice years, Castle.
Yeah.
Has he got what it takes to all those weapons they got? Can they go over the hump? The defense seems in place. What do you think?
I think he does. You know, as great as the skilled guys are, I mean, it really boils down to, you know, the protection up front. If you can get protection, you know, this, even the greatest of all quarterbacks, whether it be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, or Drew Brees, you know, you can't throw with 1.5 seconds. It's always nice to have 3.5 to throw, you know what I mean, to be able to move around the pocket and survey the field and pick your guy out, right? But if you don't have a line, and that's really the biggest key, if they got guys up front that can protect him, because obviously you need to pass the ball, you know, but they have a strong running game, especially with Charles, how explosive he is, they can make a lot of things happen.
Yeah, well, I hear you. Ben Roethlisberger makes plays without an offensive line. I'm from Pittsburgh, I have to say.
Well, listen here, that was probably when it really come down to it, you know, defensively they didn't play well. I know Troy Polamalu was hurt, but when he really came down to it, it was the ineffective play of the offensive line, which allowed him to obviously, you know, throw under pressure and throw some balls up.
All right, well, listen, Marcus Allen, great thrill to get the yap with you here in Canton. We're just yards away from your bus there. Make sure you check out at the Bud Light Facebook page, the Bud Light Fan Camp. Really cool stuff. Me and Rank are going to go toe-to-toe in this thing. A couple competitions I'm going to give Rank what for out there throwing the football. At least I got a cannon attached to this left shoulder here. All sorts of cool competitions there. It's going to be in 60 cities over 15 weeks during the season. Go out there and challenge yourself in the football skills competition. Marcus, again, thanks so much for the time.
Well, thanks for having me. Just real quickly, I just want to tell you mentioned bus. Eric Dickerson initially, when he first came in the league, didn't know what the Hall of Fame was. And then somebody told him he also gets a bus. He actually thought it was one that you drive. Eric Dickerson, ladies and gentlemen.
An excellent anecdote, and I think one that requires that we get Eric Dickerson's response as soon as possible. Thanks a lot, Marcus.
No, he'll tell you the story really well.
Dave.
David.
Wow, Rank. Pretty good.
I don't want to go Adam Schefter. That was one great football interview. I'm fired up, and I don't know if you guys caught the reference when I was talking about Jerome Bettis, but if you go onto the NFL.com, I had a story this week where I got a chance to interview Jerome Bettis, and one of the topics we talked about was football's return to Los Angeles. And as a guy who followed the Los Angeles Rams, Jerome Bettis was our last great superstar. He was a Rookie of the Year in 1993, the same year that Tim Salmon playing in the same stadium, won Rookie of the Year with the California Angels. And it was, I was so excited.
No one cares. Let's talk about the Pirates.
But I was so excited to talk to Jerome about it because I thought he would get it and he would have my back about the football's return to Los Angeles. He didn't, but it had to be a Raider who's taken my side. And I'm a little conflicted right now.
Well, listen, take what you can get. And you know what I think? Now that you mentioned the bus, that would be a great gag for Marcus Allen to bring Jerome Bettis over and give it to Eric Dickerson. That'd be a funny little joke. They should get that photo, the three of them, of Eric Dickerson with Jerome Bettis, and he'll finally get his bus in Canton. Be cute, right?
Absolutely.
Let's make that happen. See, that's the sort of thing. Sort of shenanigans that can only happen at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're here to pay witness to it. Grease the skids for such things to happen. All right, well, listen, Rank, good stuff. You didn't really seem all that awkward. You didn't seem... you were even a little less awkward than you usually are talking to Marcus Allen.
It is usually a little weird.
Yeah. But great times. Thanks to Marcus Allen and to Bud Light. We're hanging out here all weekend. Be on the lookout for Rank and Damashek. And as a matter of fact, if you're in the area and you know of any late-night food spots.
Anything open past 10 would be preferable.
Yeah, that would be good. But otherwise, it's positively a gay old time here. And we'll continue to come at you on NFL.com all weekend long. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.